Some number of years ago, we began preaching through the Psalms consecutively during the summer months, starting with Psalm 1. Today, we come to Psalm 92. Our psalm this morning, Psalm 92, has an inscription for it. Those little words that are written in your Bibles at the beginning of some of the psalms. The inscription for this psalm is a psalm, a song for the Sabbath. Not all of the psalms have inscriptions, but for those that do, we would do very well to pay close attention to these words, because these inscriptions are present also in the original Hebrew manuscripts. They are part of the Holy Spirit-inspired very words of God. The publisher of your Bible did not insert those words into the text. They're given to you by the Spirit. They're given to you as part of God's Word. This psalm is entitled, as I said, A Song for the Sabbath, because it was written especially for God's people to sing together when they gathered together on the Sabbath day, perhaps even that day in the synagogue that we read about in Luke 4. They would have sung Psalm 92 together as our Lord Jesus went to the synagogue, to the convocation, to the gathering of God's people every Sabbath day, as was his custom, as Luke tells us. We'll sing Psalm 92 ourselves, a version of it, a little later this morning. So as you hear these words now from this psalm, consider for yourself as you listen, what does this psalm teach us about the Sabbath day? What does it show us about the significance of that day and the kind of worship and life God desires for his people on the Lord's Day? In particular, as they come together Sunday by Sunday, why is this psalm particularly suited for singing on the Sabbath day by God's people together? Beloved, God's word is more precious than gold. It is more precious even than much fine gold. Beloved, God's word is sweeter than honey. It is sweeter even than the drippings of the honeycomb. I invite you to listen to it now. This text is printed also for you on the back of your order of worship. Psalm 92, a psalm, a song for the Sabbath. It is good to give thanks to Yahweh, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Yahweh, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hand, I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Yahweh! Your thoughts are very deep. The stupid man cannot know. The fool cannot understand this, that though the wicked spread like grass and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But you, O Yahweh, are on high forever. For behold, your enemies, O Yahweh, for behold, your enemies shall perish. All evildoers shall be scattered. But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of Yahweh. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that Yahweh is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Thus far, the reading of God's word, it is absolutely true, and it is given to you because your Father in heaven loves you. Let's pray. Gracious God and most merciful Father, you have granted us the rich and precious jewel of your holy word. Assist us now with your Holy Spirit, that that same word may be written on our hearts to our everlasting comfort, to reform us, to renew us according to your image, to build us up and edify us into the perfect dwelling place of your Christ. Grant this, O Heavenly Father, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. One of the most fundamental claims of biblical religion is that God, in his wisdom and power and authority, has both positive and negative requirements for what we do with our physical bodies as human beings created in his image. This reality, I think, has fallen on hard times today because our modern world has largely redefined spirituality and religion, at least in the West, in such a way that to be spiritual or to be religious is often assumed only to touch on internal things, non-bodily matters, the private disposition of the heart, certain privately held propositional beliefs about God's existence or character, a kind of vague call to be a quote-unquote good person, whatever that means. But friends, this is not biblical religion. The scriptures relentlessly teach us again and again that God not only cares about our hearts, he also cares about what we do with our bodies. The Ten Commandments prescribe, for example, that we not use our bodies, no matter what's in our hearts, we may not use our bodies to bow down to created images. That is idolatry by default, that we must use our bodies with respect and obedience toward those in lawful authority over us, that we keep our bodies sexually pure, that we not do violent harm to the bodies of others, that we not use our bodies to take things that do not belong to us, and that we not use the tongues that the Lord has put in our mouths to speak words that are untrue. In addition, biblical religion and the Ten Commandments teach us that on the Sabbath day, in particular, God has very specific requirements for our bodies. He requires us to appear before him, not merely in our hearts, but actually in our bodies, to gather physically with God's people to offer our worship to him. As Leviticus 23 puts it, the Sabbath is first and foremost a holy convocation. That is, in more plain English today, a holy gathering, a holy assembly of people. The Sabbath, in other words, requires you to do something with your body, to move your body from the place where you reside and go to the place where the gathering exists. Now, yes, of course, there are times when there are works of necessity or our bodies are sick and weak and we are unable to join the gathering of God's people. But for most of us, most of the time, to be obedient to God on the Sabbath day means that God requires us to physically be present before him. But what is this holy gathering for? That is what Psalm 92 is about. Beloved, my desire for us as a church is that not only would we be a church who keeps the Sabbath day out of obedience toward and reverence for God, although God's command is certainly sufficient for the keeping of this commandment, but more than that, beloved, my desire is that we would be a congregation that loves Sunday, that loves the Lord's Day above all other days of the week, that there would be no comparison in our hearts or minds or affections. My desire is that we would anticipate the Sabbath, that we'd be thinking about it on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, that we would plan for it all week long, because this is the day of days. This is the day that we get to gather with God's people in a holy convocation. This is the day that is given to us by our Heavenly Father to reorient our hearts and minds as we need. This is the day that we come together to abide with Christ, our shepherd, the one who feeds his sheep by his own means of grace, word, prayer, and sacrament from his own hand by the Spirit. There is so much in the Scriptures that teaches us about the significance of the Sabbath day and its continuing importance in the life of the church, but Psalm 92 is a divinely inspired song specifically for the Sabbath. And it is designed, I think, to help us love the Sabbath. Not only to learn things about the Sabbath, not only to understand the Sabbath's significance, but to love more deeply the Sabbath day as it describes for us through poetry what this day is given to us for. Verse 1 puts it this way. The psalmist writes and says, this is what I want God's people to sing together on the Sabbath day. I want them to sing, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to Yahweh, to sing praises to your name, O Most High. In that first sentence, the congregation addresses one another. And then in the second sentence or second clause in that phrase, they turn their attention to the Lord and sing to Him. The Christian Sabbath comes one day in seven. And it is first and foremost, as this psalm reminds us, a day for giving thanks to God. This is a day given to us to reorient our hearts. It is so easy, beloved, to grow discontent and embittered and entitled, to feel the other days of the week as though somehow, because of the circumstances of our life, God is not treating us right. God is not being fair in some way, to be consumed even sometimes by envy or bitterness or ingratitude. Now, worldly wisdom, if you go to a bookstore, there's lots of books about how you can be a person of gratitude and avoid these self-destructive things. They say, well, you should make a list perhaps and write down one thing every day that you're thankful for, and that will over time make you a thankful person. Now, that's fine advice. There's nothing wrong with that if you want to do that, but that's not the prescription the Bible gives. The Bible says this. This is how you become a person who is thankful, who is not bitter. You must do this. You must gather with God's people every Sabbath day. And in that gathering, you must set aside your complaints and your grudges and instead rejoice and give thanks to God by singing His praises. This, the Bible says, is the best way to protect yourself against envy and bitterness. It is good, Psalm 92 says. It is fitting, in other words, it is right to give thanks to God in this way. It is like medicine for your soul. That's what the psalmist is saying. Medicine that if you don't take it, if you don't participate in this holy gathering of giving thanks, your capacity for gratitude and commitment will grow weak. Your soul will be crippled. This giving thanks, notice, is something that we do most primarily in song. It's not an accident that we sing and worship. God commands us not just to speak aloud his praises, but to sing them. We sing praises to your name, O Most High. As verse 1 says, Christianity, among all the religions of the world, is a religion that sings, a religion that produces music. Some of the greatest, arguably the greatest music ever produced has been by the church. And the story of God's people throughout the scripture from beginning to end is the story of a people who sing on so many of its pages. When you gather with God's people on the Lord's Day, I encourage you, friends, I exhort you even, don't be silent when the time comes to sing. Don't just listen to others sing around you. No, join in with your whole heart. And I don't care about the excuses about your voice or it's awkward. Don't do that. Don't give in to that. Don't be silent. Open your mouth and sing. God invites you to do this. It is good for you. It is right and good for you to sing. Sing God's praises because it is medicine for your soul to sing praises to the God who made you with God's people on the day that he is set apart, particularly for this purpose, to sing his praises with those who gather with you. Sing because singing shapes your heart toward gratitude and away from bitterness. But of what do we sing on the Sabbath day? Verses 2 to 4 of our psalm tells us. The psalmist says, we sing, speaking to the Lord, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, or more literally, O Yahweh, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands I sing for joy. The Sabbath day is given to us to declare publicly God's steadfast love and faithfulness, to be made glad as we do so by his works, to sing in his presence for joy. Beloved, this and this alone will give you true joy in this life. Only this. The works of God. That is what will give you joy. His steadfast love, his faithfulness, that is what you can count on. Everything else is shifting sand if you try to root your joy in that. But the works of God's hands, God's steadfast love, his faithfulness are constantly finding new manifestations in your life. That's why you need to come and sing about them every Lord's Day, because even in the worst of your circumstances, there are opportunities for you to learn in new ways of the faithful and loving works of God, to sing for joy at what he has done and what he is doing. But the Sabbath day is not only given to us to sing of God's love and faithfulness. The Sabbath day is also given to reorient our hearts towards what is actually true. And what is true is that God reigns on high, that God will destroy the power of evil, that God will defeat the wicked. Listen to verses 5 through 11 as the psalmist teaches us this and delights in it. He says, how great are your works, O Yahweh! Your thoughts are very deep. Right? They're mysterious. They're complex. The stupid man cannot know. The ignorant man is what he means there. The fool cannot understand this. That though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But you, O Yahweh, are on high forever. The psalmist here is saying, don't let your eyes deceive you. Don't let your emotions deceive you. For behold, your enemies, O Yahweh, for behold, your enemies shall perish. All evildoers shall be scattered. But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. That's what the Lord does for us every Lord's Day, every Sabbath. He pours over us the fresh oil of His Spirit as He draws us in. The psalmist says, in response to that fresh oil, my eyes have seen. I have been given a revelation, a confidence of the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. The thoughts of God are very deep, the psalmist says. They are mysterious. And one of the most deep and mysterious aspects of God and His thoughts and His will is why He permits, allows, and even ordains for evil and wickedness to exist, for His people to suffer harm because of evil and wickedness. As Paul puts it in Romans 11, quoting from Job, for who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? It's so dark sometimes, beloved, in this world. The power of sin and death can seem so strong. It is easy in response to that to give in to hopelessness or despair. And that is why God gathers us together on the Sabbath day, which is in the New Covenant the day of our Lord's resurrection, the first day of the week, not the last, each week. Because it is here with God's people that we sing His praises and remember what is true through the reading and preaching of His Word. It is here that we proclaim again and again and again as many Lord's Days as we need to hear it, which is every Lord's Day. That if God can raise His Son from the grave and thus defeat in that act of wickedness and evil the powers of evil and darkness, He can certainly turn all things to good in our lives. The Lord is on high forever, the psalmist proclaims. He is never out of control. He is never overwhelmed, no matter how dark the darkness seems. And each Sabbath day, we proclaim the reality of these things, that God is over all things now, that He is on high, and His victory is coming over all that is wrong in this world. And if He can raise His Son from the dead, as He did on the first day of the week, then certainly He can bring resurrection and transformation to our lives and to this whole broken world. Our psalm this morning ends with another proclamation, another reason for joy that is declared by the psalmist. And that reason is the abundant life that is given to those who abide in the house of God, to those who come to the holy convocation, those who keep the Sabbath day holy. The psalmist says, the righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. What an image of the strength, the vitality, the endurance, the fruitfulness given to the people of God. But where is this grove of holy trees of saints who abide and flourish and give life? Where are they planted? They are planted, the psalmist says, in the house of Yahweh. They are planted in the place of the holy convocation. They flourish where? In the courts of our God, because that is where their true life is found. They still bear fruit in old age, the psalmist says. They are ever full of sap and green. And all their life does this, declaring that the Lord is upright, that He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness, there is no wickedness, there is no sin, there is no reason to doubt any of His works. None of that is present in Him. I am the vine and you are the branches. That's what Jesus taught His disciples in John 15. Now it's important to say that with those words, Jesus was not inventing some new metaphor or way of describing the life of God with His people. He was drawing from the Old Testament, all sorts of places in the Old Testament, but particularly Psalm 1, which speaks of the righteous man who is planted by the streams of living water, who gives fruit, who bears fruit in every season. He was drawing also from this portion of Psalm 92, which speaks of the righteous being like great trees, great groves of trees that bear fruit and are full of rich sap and greenness, even in the latter days of their lives. Jesus was drawing from Psalm 92 as well. Our relationship with God is an organic relationship. It is a living relationship. And in order to grow all the years of our lives, in order to become these fruitful trees, to be strong, we must be planted in a particular place. We must be planted in the house of the Lord. We must flourish in the courts of God. This is the great promise of keeping the Sabbath, beloved. This is the great hope that is set before you, that over the years of your life, as you join God's people week by week in the holy convocation, as you are planted here in this place, the Spirit really is doing something. He really is at work. Every Lord's Day, He is speaking to you. He is giving you sunlight and nourishment and water. He is nourishing you in word and prayer and sacrament. Every Sabbath, He is reorienting your heart away from the darkness of the surrounding world and toward the light and life that He inhabits and brings. The 17th century Scottish pastor David Dixon puts it this way in his reflection on Psalm 92, this portion of that psalm. He says, this psalm teaches us that the Lord's children are like trees which do not grow in every soil. Not every soil is good for the children of God to grow in. They're not nourished with every moisture. Rather, the place of their planting, growth, and flourishing is the house of the Lord, where the Word and the Spirit, joined with the holy sacraments, may be had for food. That's what we're doing here. We're being planted so we can grow. This change, this reorientation, this growth is not sudden. It doesn't happen overnight, but over the years of your life, beloved, as you present yourself in the holy convocation and gathering of God's people each week, as you keep the Sabbath day, as you are nourished and fed by the food that is offered on this day in this place, God really does change you. That's the promise of this psalm. He really does give you life and wisdom and maturity in this way. He really does give you the grace that you will need to trust Him in the circumstances of your life, to hold on to what He says is true, to declare with all the saints planted in the house of the Lord that our God is upright, that He is our rock, that there is no unrighteousness in Him, for He is just and good in all His ways. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Sabbath day. We thank you for the psalm that teaches us, encourages us as we sing it and pray it to learn to love even more deeply this gift you have given us. Father, help us now as we come to your table to receive the gifts you have for us by your Spirit. In Christ's name, amen.